WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Welcome into the program. Happy Thursday to you. Welcome into the month of August. And welcome into Feast Weekend. That's right. It all kicks off today. Later on today, of course, we're going to have the big broadcast with Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now from the Museum of Modern Heritage to get you ready for the feast. But tonight is the big night, so if you're already thinking of your excuses to call in sick to work tomorrow, don't bother. Your boss knows exactly where you were because it is Feast Weekend. So the 108th Feast of the Blessed Sacrament. And I think for a lot of people out there, you know, this is a huge day on the calendar, a circled day every year. Some folks say, you know, I don't go a Thursday because I work the next day. But I go Friday, I go Saturday. A lot of people like to go Sunday for the parade. But today's the day that, you know, the politicians all show up. The movers and shakers all show up. And where they have the headline act playing, which this year is Bad Fish, a tribute to Sublime. Last year was the first year of some new security measures, and those same security measures will be in place again this year. Barry had the article yesterday at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. We're going to talk about those today, amongst other topics. I also told you yesterday that I would have the story of a young Fairhaven entrepreneur and a situation where, while on the surface it doesn't seem like a big deal, it was a lesson that resonated. So there is a young boy, his name is Jonathan Lagoa, and a few years ago for Christmas he got a snow cone machine, which, you know, I always wanted the Snoopy snow cone machine when I was a kid. You put the ice cubes in, you get a snow cone out, it's the Snoopy snow cone machine. Remember those? And I always wanted one, never got one. And it wasn't like, you know, my parents didn't want me to have one. Just never found one anywhere. I don't remember ever walking into a store and seeing a Snoopy snow cone machine on the shelf. It was like the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier. Or the Boulder Hill playset from Mask. The Cat's Lair from Thundercats. It's like you knew they existed, but you just never saw them on the shelf. But anyway, he got a snow cone machine for Christmas a few years ago. And the summer following came up with the idea of, hey, how about I run my own little business selling snow cones out in front of that? You know, other kids do lemonade stands. How about I sell snow cones? And he started doing that and made money pretty much right away. So he's been able to expand that into a business. He will go to different local festivals and sell outside of the house. But this past weekend, he had the chance to sell snow cones. He'll do birthday parties, which I think is cool that people will book him to do fellow kids' birthday parties. But this past weekend, he was given the opportunity to sell his snow cones at his baseball league's weekend tournament. And so he did pretty well for himself. And he was going to take the money that he made and invest that in his second business that 11-year-old Jonathan Lagoa is starting. By the way, his snow cone business is called the Snow Cone Shack. And he goes by the name Johnny Ice, which I think is great marketing. He is starting a second business making and selling custom T-shirts. And when I asked him, I said, you know, how did you go from running a snow cone business to wanting to run a T-shirt business? And at 11 years old, he had a great answer. He said, well, snow cones are something I can only sell one season, really. But T-shirts are something I can sell year-round. So he's already thinking about diversification of his portfolio here. So he went to go get some supplies for his T-shirt business. And his mom decided, you know, because of the responsibility that he's showing, she was going to trust him to go into the store for the first time by himself to buy these items. Now, obviously, 11 years old, when she says, you know, going to let him go in by himself, she's keeping an eye on the door. She's got her cell phone. He's got his cell phone. So, you know, as nerve-wracking as it is as a mom, she needs to give him some response, you know, let him have some of this responsibility. So he goes into Walmart, gets what he needs, comes out. They're leaving. He's like, oh, I forgot one thing. Can we stop at Dollar Tree? They stop at Dollar Tree. She says, okay, you can go into this store by yourself. And then as she's watching the door, she sees him talking to somebody and then come out. Well, apparently what happened was when he walked into the store, he walked in the same time as an older gentleman. He said hello to the older gentleman, displayed some impeccable manners. And then later on, he was in line behind the older gentleman with his bags that he needed for his T-shirt business. And when the older gentleman walked away, Jonathan saw that he had left money behind. And he told me he thought at first it was a tip for the cashier. And then the cashier said, oh, no, that gentleman wanted to pay for your items. And what's interesting about this isn't just that, you know, somebody decided to pay for someone else's stuff. But just the day before, Jonathan and his mother had a conversation about, because the baseball league allowed him to set up and sell during the weekend tournament, and because he had made so much money and, you know, was doing well, and his mom was teaching him the lesson of, you know, they gave you this opportunity, you should make a donation from some of your money back to the league. And Jonathan said, you know, he was already thinking that he wanted to do something like that, so he did. And his mom told him, you know, just along the lines of, you know, when you do good things come back to you, so, you know, you should do the right thing here, and, you know, you'll be rewarded for it somewhere down the line, just by karma. And sure enough, a day later, he sees that actually in action. And it's a good, heartwarming story. Not only an 11-year-old entrepreneur who is starting his own businesses, and by the way, businesses he can carry forward with him through middle school, high school, into adulthood. But he learned, really, the power of doing good things in your community with the money that you make as part of that business. So that's just kind of the nutshell version of it. You can read the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. A lot of people have been asking, well, where can I go and buy some of his snow cones? Because I want to show support. And you know what? I just realized that I forgot to put the link in the story, but I will do that. Maybe during the next break or something. He has a Facebook page for the Snow Cone Shack, Johnny Ice. That's the name of the page. The Snow Cone Shack, Johnny Ice. Where he announces where he'll be. But generally, you can find him on Fort Street selling his snow cones. Maybe he'll be out later on today. It's going to be a hot day. But show them some support. A lot of people have been asking, you know, where can I get him? How can I hire him? So I'll put that link in there. I just popped into my head. I forgot to put that link in there. So I will do that in a little bit. So I wanted to start your day off with a nice story, because I'm sure we'll, you know, get into a lot of things. Of course, everybody's talking about Donald Trump's appearance yesterday at the conference for black journalists and the way he handled answering those questions. And it you know, I didn't watch it live. I saw some of the clips afterward. And I thought, well, you know, he's probably agitated because, as he said, you know, they had some equipment issues. And so that probably threw everything off of the timing. And he's probably agitated because things were running behind. And it happens, especially when you're running a presidential campaign. You're on a tight schedule a lot of the times as it is. And you don't want to say, well, I can't stay now. I got to leave because I have somewhere else to be, because then it looks like you're being a jerk. But then a lot of reporting came out yesterday after the fact that wasn't the case, that it wasn't a technical issue. It was a problem with the Trump campaign agreeing upon the rules of what was going to happen with the journalists. So it was actually his delay. But still, the comments that were made were drawing a lot of criticism. We can get into that. But of course, the big story today is that it is the 108th Feast of the Blessed Sacrament. And last year we talked about these new security measures that were in place. And people were very apprehensive, I'll say, to be kind, but really kind of upset about it last year when they heard about it. What do you mean I can only go into certain entrances and exits? What do you mean I have to go through a metal detector? Never had to do that before. Why do I have to do it now? What do you mean there's going to be fences up? For 106 years previously, you could just walk right in, walk right out, walk into any part of it. You weren't filtered into one entrance or exit. Never had to get wanded before. And then the feast came, and I didn't hear a single complaint from anybody about it during or after the fact. No one was upset about the security, at least that I heard. I think a lot of people who were there appreciated the security, considering all that's going on in the world. I went to the punk rock festival they had on the feast grounds about, I don't know, like a month ago. And while that was obviously not nearly as well attended as the feast, you know, it was the same process. They had one way in and out. You were wanded as you went in with a metal detecting wand. And that was it. And it seemed, you know, I mean, again, it's not nearly as busy, but it seemed like going to any other major event. If you go to things other than the feast, whether they're free or paid, and you've gone through that process, it's not a big deal. And you have that peace of mind when you're inside that everybody who's come through those gates has been checked. And they weren't, you know, they weren't frisking people or anything. It's just like, okay, take out anything metal in your pockets, and then we're just going to wave the wand over you. So I don't know that the same outrage over the security measures exists anymore, that people have gone through it, but, you know, be aware of it. Maybe you didn't go last year. And now this year you're going to be going back and you're going to be experiencing this for the first time. And it will mean it's going to take a little bit longer for you to get in. But from all accounts, it didn't take very long last year. And it's because I think part of it is it's not an event necessarily where everybody shows up at the same time. Sure, there'll be a lot of people that will get there right when it opens up, which I think is at 4 p.m. But there are also a lot of people who will come later on when they get out of work. And a lot of people who will come right before the band they want to see is about to go on. Or who might come after dinner. Or, you know, what have you. So it's a constant flow of people, and it's not an overwhelming surge of people at the beginning. And even concerts, for the most part, have gotten away from, you know, the doors open at 6, the band goes on at 7. They've started opening the doors early for a couple of reasons. One, they realize if they open an hour early, that's an hour earlier people are going to go in and start drinking their alcohol that costs $15-16 a beer, as opposed to being out in the parking lot drinking the beer that they brought with them. But then also, it really alleviates that pressure at the beginning of everybody trying to get in. So I've already been to a couple concerts this year at the Xfinity Center, and I've never waited to get in. One show I got there as the opening act was already starting. Another show I got there an hour before the opening act went on. Or, you know, tried to walk into the facility an hour before the opening act went on. Another time it was kind of in between. And I never was more than two or three people back from the gate. Now, also, I don't have a bag or anything really like that needs to be searched. So I can just take off my hat, put my stuff in my hat, walk through and be done. But the technology has progressed to the point where, you know, we're not, it's not the airport where we're slowed down and it's one at a time, one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. So don't let that turn you off. If you didn't experience it last year and you're saying, well, gee, it's going to be a long line. It's going to take forever to get in. Do not be turned off by it. But be glad when you're inside that you are now safer for it. And it makes the police's job easier. It makes everybody feel safer about being there. Not that it wasn't before, but, you know, some people are just nervous these days. It has nothing to do with the feast. It has nothing to do with New Bedford. It has everything to do with the fact that there are people who are just nervous to be in crowds these days because of the horrible things that have happened in some places. So these precautions are not only the right thing to do, but they should make you feel better. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break here, and we will be back in just a few moments. And I know I just played the Buggles yesterday, but going to play it again today because it is the 43rd anniversary of the launch of MTV. That was the first video ever played on MTV. So you know what? For fun today, I'll play for bumper music the first songs that were played on MTV. So that was the number one. Coming up after the news, I will have the second song that was ever played on MTV. See, that's the thing. That's the, you know, the trivia question everybody can answer is, what was the first video? Oh, Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles. But people can't always remember what the second one was. Or my other favorite question is to ask, what was the first music video that played on MTV2? That was Where It's At by Beck. And then a New Bedford area question for you. What was the first song ever played on KKB Rocks, the rock station that we used to have here? That was You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC. I don't know what the first song ever played was on Fun 107, though. Don't ask me that. Anyway, we can get into some more of that and whatever else is on your mind. 508-996-0500. But right now, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Harris hits back at Trump over race remarks, a murder charge for the teen in a UK knife attack, and which generations have higher risks of cancer.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Vice President Kamala Harris is hitting back at former President Trump after he questioned her heritage earlier in the day yesterday.
It was the same old show, the divisiveness and the disrespect. And let me just say, the American people deserve better. The American people deserve better.
Trump, in an interview at the National Association of Black Journalists convention, said Harris was always of Indian heritage and later happened to, quote, turn black. Harris said that Trump's divisiveness and respect was the same old show and Americans deserve much better. Harris speaking at a black sorority celebration Wednesday night in Houston. Harris, who is Indian American and African American, was a member of the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority when she attended Howard University, a historically black university. Trump also saying he'll go back to the city of his attempted assassination. Trump delivering remarks in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania on Wednesday, going after Harris for her track record.
She was voted the most unpopular vice president in history. That's hard for a vice president to be that unpopular, right?
It was the first time Trump was back in the state since the assassination attempt in Butler almost 3 weeks ago. He told his supporters at the rally that he was not deterred by the attack. The White House says it's too soon to say what the attacks in Lebanon and Iran could mean for a potential ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby refused to confirm reports that Israel killed a political leader of Hamas in Iran. Kirby telling reporters the Biden administration will continue efforts to secure a ceasefire deal that includes the release of hostages held by Hamas. North Korea is open to resuming nuclear talks with the U.S. if Donald Trump retakes the White House. That's according to Reuters, citing a North Korean diplomat who defected to South Korea last month. The diplomat said North Korea's goal is to get sanctions lifted and to no longer be listed as a state sponsor of terrorism. Former President Trump engaged in unprecedented diplomacy with North Korea during his term, leading up to a 2019 summit in Vietnam that fell apart over sanctions. Police in England say 17-year-old male has been charged with the murders of three children in a knife attack. The suspect, who can't be named under UK law, is accused of murdering the three young girls in a knife attack Monday in the town of Southport. He's also charged with 10 counts of attempted murder. The children were at a Taylor Swift-themed dance event when the attack took place. And Gen Xers and millennials have a higher risk of some cancers than earlier generations. Tammy Trujillo has more.
Researchers with the American Cancer Society found that they're more prone to a number of cancers, including breast, pancreatic, and gastric. The study was published Wednesday in the journal Lancet Public Health. It illustrates the need to study exactly what factors are causing the increased risk. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox claim their series against the Mariners following a 3-2 walk-off win in extras from Fenway. They travel to play the Texas Rangers tomorrow night for the start of a three-game set.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Hot and humid for today. This morning, a little bit of cloud cover out there, some sunshine, humidity in place, and temperature in the mid-70s. These heat indices going up to around 90 this afternoon. In the mid-80s, with mostly sunny skies, there is a heat advisory in effect as of noon today through 7 o'clock tomorrow, 7 p.m. As we head into the overnight hours, lower 70s, more heat and humidity for tomorrow. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
Weather on WBSM is brought to you by SeaStreak. Whether it's a daycation or a staycation, get there with SeaStreak. Visit SeaStreak.com for reservations to Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
What you trying to do to my heart? You go around
You Better Run by Pat Benatar, the second video ever played on MTV, because back in those days, which you got to put yourself in the position of MTV when it launched, right? You've got this idea of putting out music television, and the idea at the time was to kind of utilize cable. People thought that cable was going to be the next big thing, and they were right. It was. In reaching people. And so it was basically making a radio station in a video format. The problem is, when you had a radio station in 1981, you had lots of records. But when you had a music video station in 1981, well, you didn't have a lot of videos. And so some of the early criticisms of MTV were they played the same videos over and over. Well, they didn't have a lot of variety because they needed to launch first for the music industry to realize, oh, we have to make more of these music videos to supply to MTV because kids are watching it and they're going out and buying records because of it. That's why we had the, what some people call the second British invasion. I think they call it the new wave, the new romantic movement. There's all these different terms for what happened in the early days of MTV, but it's because that's who was making videos already. British bands were already making videos because they had similar programs. They would put music videos. The Beatles made music videos. They made short music films. And so that's what MTV had access to, and that made some big stars. Rod Stewart made a lot of those videos, so there was a lot of Rod Stewart videos. In fact, you may hear some Rod Stewart coming up. And some of the early criticism, too, was that, well, MTV only plays white artists. MTV doesn't play hip-hop or rap. MTV doesn't play, you know, funk bands or this or that. And what's funny about it is they received those criticisms, but it wasn't an intentional thing. They weren't trying to be an all-white music station. They were trying to program it as if it was a rock radio station. So they were just within a genre. That was their goal and their intent, but then they also have to grab whatever videos are available because they didn't have a huge library. So that kind of put them off that path a little bit. But I don't think people remember. It was a couple of things that really kind of changed the, basically busted the format for MTV. It was Duran Duran investing, and their record company investing actual dollars, real money in bringing in an actual director and creating music videos like Rio and Hungry Like the Wolf with Russell Mulcahy that were actual films. And that went beyond just something that was a promotional thing and became art unto itself. And also a guy named Michael Jackson, who just happened to drop the biggest album of all time a year after MTV debuts. Well, I don't even know if it was a year, but in 1982. And then you've got the huge success that Thriller became. And MTV was a huge part of that. And then the I Want My MTV campaign began, which, by the way, was because so many cable systems weren't carrying MTV. They didn't see the demand for it. What do we care what the teenagers are watching? They're not the ones that are paying the cable bill. But as they called those stations, called those providers up and said, I want my MTV, they started to realize, wait a minute, we've got to get this into every home in America. And now look at MTV. What's it like, Ridiculousness? And I think that's really the only show I've ever seen on it lately. Over and over and over and over again. Some of MTV's biggest shows are
you know, game changers that changed television. Look at The Real World, brought reality television back. Something that had been tried in the 70s. They tried it again and it started off this reality format we've had since The Real World. So many other shows too. Even Beavis and Butthead are on Comedy Central now. Because MTV is a shell of its former self. And musicians still make music videos. So it's not like MTV couldn't go back to playing videos. And MTV has offshoot channels that play videos. But I don't know. I guess we live in an on-demand world now where people aren't just going to go turn on MTV 2 or 3 or 8 or whatever they're up to now and learn about music that way. But how many of us growing up, that's how we learned about new bands and new songs, was by seeing them on MTV, not by hearing them on the radio. You'd still listen for them on the radio, but you usually saw them on MTV first. The Buzz Bin. Um, 120 minutes. Breakthrough video. They had all these different little things to draw your attention into them. Yeah. I guess a concept whose time has come and gone. But we'll celebrate it today because it is the anniversary. So You Better Run, Pat Benatar, the second song to ever appear on MTV. We're gonna go. We'll get the third one coming up, and we're already into the Rod Stewart. I'm just taking a look at the list, and I'm thinking we got three Rod Stewarts, three REO Speedwagons, a couple of Pat Benatars, all like within the first 40 songs they played. We're not gonna get to all of those. They also played a lot of Iron Maiden on day one. More Iron Maiden than they ever played after that. Anyway, 508-996-0500. We're talking about the 108th Feast of the Blessed Sacrament starting tonight, later on today. And don't forget that Chris McCarthy will be broadcasting from the Museum of Modern Heritage this morning at 9 a.m. because the feast is about more than just food, fun, and Madeira wine. Chris is going to bring you the true history of Madeira and why the feast is such an important part of New Bedford. And the big, big important part of it, all the good the feast committee does in the community with the money that it brings in. Some of it you hear about, some of it you never hear about. And of course, it's been a big year for the feast committee with the vote to allow women to serve. Women who had already been volunteering for years and helping out with the feast, but now can officially be involved in decision making. So the 108th year is a groundbreaking year for sure. At the biggest Portuguese festival in all of America. And it's happening in your community, your South Coast, all this weekend. And it's free. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take my next break and we'll be back in a few moments. That's the third video ever played on MTV. She Won't Dance With Me by Rod Stewart. And if you go to the feast tonight, she'll dance with you. Just make sure you ask permission first. Only dance with consent. But also, you know, as the feast is one of the big events of the summer here in New Bedford, so was 50s night. And I think everybody had a great time at 50s night. And a lot of people wanted the magic of that to continue. Well, it will this weekend. If you need a little respite from the feast and you want to head out to Carver, Edaville Family Theme Park is having its Under the Lights car show this weekend. It's happening on Saturday from 4 to 9 p.m. Tickets start at just $12.95. And you can come out and check out all of the vehicles. So there's different packages, by the way. So $12.95 gets you into the park, and you can experience all the cars and everything that's going on with that. And then, you know, for a little bit more, you can also ride the train. For a little bit more, you can also ride all of the amusement rides there too. It's a way that they've kind of tiered the pricing so that, you know, some people go and they never ride the rides. And they were paying the same price for people that went and rode everything. So they've tiered the pricing to make it a little bit easier and affordable for people. So that's happening this weekend. But also at Edaville, they want you to know right now that you can already get tickets for Santa's Express and the North Pole Limited special trains that come up during the holiday season in November and December. These are two specialty trains that will sell out, but they already have the tickets for those on sale now at Edaville.com if you want to take part of it. And, of course, the Christmas carnival nights all throughout the summer. Day Out with Thomas is coming up. They're going to have the Cranberry Festival in the fall. There's going to be so many things that go on at Edaville beyond just the Festival of Lights that happened during the holiday season. So you can also get yourself a season pass. So to find out more, all you have to do is go to Edaville.com and make sure you follow the Edaville Family Theme Park Facebook page so you can keep up to date with all their events, because you never know when a new one is going to pop up. One of my favorite places, and one of your favorites too, and now it's being run by people who really understand the connection that Edaville fans have with the park. And so they're coming up with all kinds of cool events and reasons to keep you coming back for more. Edaville.com and Edaville Family Theme Park on Facebook. So 508-996-0500, that's our number here. As we were talking about the feast and the new security measures that were put in place last year, as I said, people were apprehensive about it last year. In some cases, people were angry about it last year. Leading up to the event, why do they have to change it? Why do they have to mess with it? If the feast has supposedly been safe for, you know, the last, it's been a long time really since it was a big problem. So if that's the case, why did they have to go and add these security measures? Well, because it's not the feast that was the reason for these security measures. It was the world around the feast. It was the fact that people can't just go to music festivals and concerts and anything anymore without fear that some mentally disturbed person is gonna do something harmful. So this isn't about the feast. It's about the fact that it's a large public gathering, and large public gatherings need more security. Unfortunately, that's just the state of the world that we are in. But as we make advances in technology, those security measures become less invasive. When they told us last year it was going to be run by the same company that handled the Boston Calling event, I knew then and there this is going to be a breeze, because that's a large event. I mean, as many people as go through the doors of the feast over the course of the weekend, it's not as many people as go to Boston Calling at one any one given time. It's just not the same footprint and size. So if that company can handle an event of that scale, I knew they would be fine handling the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament. And they, from all accounts, did a great job. And of course, you're still going to have your issues that pop up. You're still going to have your people that drink a little bit too much. You're going to have people that get a little bit unruly, but that happens. But don't you feel a lot better knowing that that's what the police officers who are there and the security who are there can focus on? Instead of having to worry about if somebody has brought in a weapon, or if the person who becomes inebriated has a weapon on them. Then it's a lot easier to just grab somebody who's had a little bit too much and said, come with us, please. You're making a fool of yourself. So I think people who were apprehensive about it last year had their fears assuaged by going and experiencing it and realizing that it's not a big deal. And so you will have the same experience this year. The same measures are in place. Barry has an article at WBSM.com and on the app about it. But he quotes New Bedford Police Chief Paul Oliveira saying that people should feel safe. Now, there are certain items that you can't bring in. And that's, you know, that's no different than any other event. Obviously, you know, bags, backpacks, things like that. There's only certain bags you can bring in, clear bags or small clutch purses. And there's a whole list on the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament website of all the things that you cannot bring in. Some of them, I mean, I can't imagine people are still trying to show up on Segways. Segways have kind of gone away, right? But, you know, things that people still might try to show up with, like drones. Like tripods for their cameras or their phones. Or selfie sticks. You can't bring a selfie stick in. So just familiarize yourself with all these items, and you can read about it at WBSM.com and on the app. And then that way there, when you show up, you don't have to worry about them saying, you got to go bring these things back to your car. You can't bring them in. 508-996-0500. And if you're not sure, you know, call me. I'll tell you if it's on the list. We also have app chat and open line voicemails open on the WBSM app, but I'm going to take my final break of the hour. Back in a few. And that is the fourth song that was played on MTV on this date in 1981. So, The Who, You Better You Bet. One of the best 80s Who songs, for sure. And we will talk more about some of those songs that were played on MTV on this day when we come back in the next hour. We'll be playing more of them coming back from the breaks. And, of course, we'll take more of your calls at 508-996-0500. Your app chat messages, your open line voicemails on the WBSM app. So many great ways to get in touch with us. The app is such a great tool. If you don't have it already, make sure you download it. It's free from your app store.